Good morning, church. Let us turn our Bibles, please, this morning to the scripture reading passage you read earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. A year ago, I started preaching a series of expository messages from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning from chapter 1, verse 1. We covered the Sermon on the Mount, and we also have moved on to the miracles of Christ from chapters 8 to 10 and the miracles scattered elsewhere in the Synoptic Gospels as well, just sampling some of the many miracles recorded in the Scripture. We are now ready to move on to the next part of the Lord's ministry and His teaching. Ministry, his discourses. Besides the discourse in the Sermon on the Mount, we have his discourses in the parables. And later on, we will look at the Olivet Discourse when we come to it, probably towards the end of the year. If you read the four Gospels in the New Testament, you will find that our Lord Jesus Christ is a great master teacher. And in fact, some people learn the art of teaching, pedagogy, from reading and studying the teaching and discourses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, my message is entitled, Four Kinds of Hearers, Which Are You? Now, the parable of the sower, commonly understood, but better described as the parable of the soil, is placed first in Matthew chapter 13 for a significant reason. It is because this parable reveals something crucial about the response to Jesus' message as he goes around preaching in the various cities. The question sometimes we are puzzled with is, how is it that the same Word of God, preached, taught, produces such differing results in the human heart and lives? Why are the responses so different? You know, nothing wrong with the seed of the Word of God. The seed is the same. The sower is super, the master, teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at his ministry on earth. Were the responses the same? No. Many rejected his message. Even plotted to get rid of him, to kill him. But there were others who took to his teaching and submitted to him. So this parable addresses this puzzle. How is it the same word preached, but different responses? So as I mentioned, it is commonly known as the parable of the sower, but it would be better described as the parable of the soils, because that is what we see in this parable. Now, by the way, there are a total of at least 30 parables in the Synoptic Gospels. I say at least, because it depends on how you define the word parable. Depending on how you define the word parable, some scholars say that it could include others, and the total would amount to 50. 50, all right? But today we're not going to address the definition of parable. We're just going to have a very simple definition, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, this parable provides a sober reminder that even the most enthusiastic outward response to the gospel offers no guarantee that one is a true disciple. And this is sometimes shocking to us, because in our effort to evangelize and to reach the lost, we sometimes encounter situations where someone responded very positively, enthusiastically, and was so willing. to pray the sinner's prayer with you. And weeks and months later down the road, there seemed to be a sudden turnaround, isn't it? And we are puzzled. How could that happen? So enthusiastic initial response. So this parable, in a sense, addresses that as well. Why the change? Now, Jesus identified the seed as the word of the kingdom, and he compared the four kinds of soil with various kinds of people who had been exposed to his teaching. Now, this series of parables, I want us to realize that is relevant to our theme for this year, Reach the Unreached, evangelistic theme. Because you will discover as you read the parables of Christ that many of them are actually gospel messages. For example, the parable of the great banquet. And you have the parable of the hidden treasure. You have the parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, etc. So quite a number of these parables are gospel messages, really. And others, of course, addresses discipleship, counting the cost of discipleship, etc. All right, so it is relevant that we understand what the gospel is all about, and you'll find that it is also addressed in the teaching of Christ. Let's look at the first kind of hearer in the parable of the soils. The first kind of hearer are the wayside hearers. Matthew 13, verse 3 begins with these words. Verse 4, "And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them." The wayside hearers represent those who are hard-hearted. Now, in the scripture reading, you would notice that you read two separate passages in the same chapter. All right? One is the story. The other is the interpretation by Jesus. So because Jesus interpreted, it makes it easy for us to understand, and for the disciples at that time as well. So he says, "And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So the wayside hearers represent those who are hard-hearted, unreceptive. We may say they are people who hear one year in, the other year out. All right? And I'm sure sometimes parents use that to describe their children. One year in, one year out, bo tia wei. Right? Unreceptive and stubborn even. Right? The person who refuses to accept the word of God, Jesus tells us in this parable, will fall victim to the evil one who comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart, represented by the fowls of the air that came and pick up or eat the seed. And the Bible warns those of us who are in this category, today if you harden your heart, today if you hear his word, harden not your heart, rather. Because to refuse to accept God's word is really to move away from Christ. To move away from Christ. You know, if given the opportunity, Satan and his evil forces, the arch enemies of the kingdom of God, will come and take away the truth or distort the truth, thus making that person even less likely to accept the truth in the future. So the Bible warns us, today if you hear God speaking to you through his word, do not harden your heart, lest the evil one comes and take what God is going to do in your heart from you. You and I are either for or against Jesus. There is no objective neutrality. You are for or you are against him. The message of the gospel is very simple for all to comprehend. However, in our evangelism, we encounter people who reject the gospel. Some of these are very intelligent, very successful people in the world. And why could they not understand the simple gospel? And the reason the Bible gives us is found in another verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4. But the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. So this is the wayside hearer. The gospel, Bible truths, cannot be comprehended with our mere intellect. It needs the work of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us in verses 14 to 16 very clearly that the natural man understand not the things of the Spirit. And so we need the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first type of hearer, the wayside hearer. Secondly, we have the stony ground hearers. Verse 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And now the interpretation, which you read together with me. He that receiveth the word seed into stony places, the same is he which hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet has he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So we have the interpretation of the stony ground hearers. And they represent those hearers who are shallow-hearted. They lack commitment and depth. The initial response of these hearers is joyful acceptance, but only because his circumstances are favorable. And look at what happened when his commitment is tested. This person's commitment will be discovered and exposed, and you will find that there is no deepness of earth. His commitment is not deeply rooted at all. He is, interestingly, the stony ground hearers receives an extra attention in both the parable and its explanation. Because this person's response to the truth follows two-stage pattern, all right, which I described earlier, initial acceptance, and then later on, a falling away. So this person's commitment is not deeply rooted, and it is said that the truly committed pay their dues up front, but the marginally committed cancel their membership when payment comes due. How true that is in application to many things in our life. The truly committed, no matter how difficult the challenges may be, will not give up. But those whose commitment are questionable, at the sign of problems and challenge, they will quit and run away. And sometimes, unfortunately, we see such amongst the people of God in their service in the church as well. The cause of commitment to Christ comes in the form of tribulation or trouble and persecution. And as quickly as this individual had committed, we see that just as quickly he defected. People who are glad to hear spiritual truth, but it does not change their life, describe the stony ground hearers. They are quick to embrace what is new and also quick to abandon it when difficulties come. Sometimes in our church or churches, we are very enthusiastic people who want to I'm sidelining a bit, sidetracking a little bit, who are very interested in starting new things. And you would think that, wow, they are great initiators, and we need some people like that, right? But many times you find that these people who are very enthusiastic initially and initiate a lot of things do not carry it and continue to see it to the end because they lack perseverance and also patience. So I hope that you and I will, if we were to share an idea, want to initiate something, think through the cost. And I hope that you begin it, you will also carry it to the end. All right, this is just a sidetrack from this application. The third kind of hearers that we see in this parable is called the thorny ground hearers. And we read that in verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Literally choked them. The interpretation by the Lord Jesus in verse 32 concerning the thorns is this. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. And the care or worry of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What does the thorny ground hearers represent? Well, they represent people who are half-hearted, drawn away by external snares, trials, or temptations. In Mark 4:9, the scripture tells us that the lust of other things entering in choke the word. In Luke 8:14, Luke tells us that the pleasures of this life is the thing that draw them away from their commitment. So here it is not so much inward causes as external snares that render the third class of hearers unfruitful. Worries about this life and allurements of riches hamper spiritual commitment and growth. Life has too many commitments that slowly choke the struggling plant, which never matures and bears fruit. The competing thorns are summed up under these two categories: cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. So the idea is very clear. Jesus is giving us a warning that the worries and cares about worldly things or the temptation of riches is something that you and I must be careful and watch, because they have that tendency to impede our commitment to Christ and our spiritual growth. Have we not seen how some professing believers, once very zealous, and especially when they are younger, as a student, begin to fall away after they enter the marketplace to work? They get married, they start a family, and they are distracted by many life's other pursuits. So young people, be warned about these thorns that can choke and strangle you spiritually, so to speak. I know we have a group of people who are transiting from uni into the workplace soon, when they graduate. And when you enter into the marketplace, there will be external snares. The cares of this life, and they are legitimate concerns, by the way, but if we are not careful, what is legitimate can become a hindrance to us spiritually. So here is this warning in the third kind of hearers: the thorns that can choke and impede our spiritual progress. So these are legitimate things, but obsession with them will hamper our relationship with Christ. So how do we then overcome these external snares? Well, we need to let Christ be the center of our lives, around which study, friendship, marriage, family, other needs, and work, leisure revolve. Not Christ at the circumference revolving around our family or our work. Our work, our family, and all the other legitimate concerns shouldn't be at the center. They should revolve around Christ in the center. And Jesus warns us, didn't he, in Matthew 6, you cannot serve God and mammon. And many who pursue after riches and wealth have fallen by the wayside. 1 Timothy 6 warns about that as well. So we need to be very careful, and especially when you enter the marketplace and there's such a great pressure for you to succeed and to climb the corporate ladder, be careful of the snares. Keep your heart close to the Lord Jesus Christ and remember that he is the ultimate boss and the one whom you should please. Yesterday at the CYF 18th anniversary, Reverend William Yap spoke on their theme for the CYF, taken from Galatians 1, verse 10. I'd like you to flip to that for a while, because that's relevant to this point here. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Our Chinese youth picked this as their theme verse. And in Galatians 1:10, the Word of God reads, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Now the Chinese translation actually brings it out even better, because it talks about whose heart you want to win, you know. Is it man's heart or is it God's heart? Who do you want to please? And he gave the young people two main points. He says, in order to please God, you must first of all know your idols. Know your idols. You say, Christians, don't worship idols. Are you sure? Do you know that anything you elevate above God in your life is an idol? And I'm not talking about those physical forms that you worship. As long as your heart treasure certain thing, it could be your job, it could be wealth, it could be other some people, your children, your spouse. If you treasure all these things above God, it becomes an idol in your life. So know your idols. Who do you look to make you worthy? Must you succeed so that you can please your parents, so that you can please your friends, so that you can boast to others? Who are you seeking to please? So know your idols. Secondly, know your identity. And he exhorts them and tells them that their identity is in Christ. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, chapter 2, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we must see our identity in Christ. We must value what God says about us. And he said we are valuable because we are made in his image. We are valuable because he sent his Son to die for us on the, for our sin on the cross. And therefore, Paul casts away all his previous achievements. He says, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and all that achievements he listed in Philippians chapter 3. And he says, I now count them but dung so that I may win Christ. Wow. So Paul saw his identity not in his achievements, not in the pleasing man, but in Christ, and pleasing Christ as his servant. And we need to be like that too, so that we will not be pressurized by the things and the people of the world. All right, that's another message. I'm not going to continue with that, but I thought it was a relevant point here to bring up. So the last type of hearer in the parable of the soils is called the good ground hearers. In verse 8, Jesus said, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold." And in verse 23, he says, "He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So the good ground hearers represent those who are wholehearted doers of the word. The fourth good soil hears the word, but unlike the other three, this one also understands. When the Bible talks about understanding, it is not referring merely to intellectual assent or comprehension. I think there are many things we can understand intellectually on that level, all right? But the understanding it refers to here involves more than the intellect comprehension. It involves volitional acceptance. So you understand it and you accept its truth. You embrace it. You know, there are many things we read, right? And we can understand what they say, but do you accept them? No, many of them, you don't accept them. Right? Some of them are example, simple example, like if you eat eggs every day, you will get high cholesterol. Well, I don't accept it because I eat it every day. And I go for checks every 6 months, my cholesterol level is okay. So we can understand certain things, but we may not accept them. The same with the Word of God. You can sit here and listen to me preach. You can go for Sunday school class, and you can understand the lesson. But do you accept the truth and let it change you? Now, the good ground hearers are people who accept it, and they allow the truth to transform their lives. That's why they bring forth fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. You see, that's life change. That's fruit bearing. So this person understands, obeys the truth, accepting the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the person who submits to God's word will bring forth fruit in varying degrees. And that again, of course, is a puzzle to us, which Jesus did not explain. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. So preachers and Sunday school teachers, let us labor to make our lessons simple, easily understood by our students, but don't forget to bathe your preparation in prayer so that the word may be received by your hearers and bear fruit to the glory of God. We have to do our part. Although our part may not always guarantee results. And one of the very important things is prayer. Because we cannot fight our spiritual battles with physical weapons, but with spiritual weapons that God has given to us. And prayer is a very effective and powerful spiritual weapon that you and I have to learn to make more and better use of this privilege that God has given to us. Well, I say Jesus did not clarify what caused the variability, even in the good ground hearers. What caused this various degree of fruit bearing? Why some 30-fold? Why some 60-fold? Why some 100-fold? He is stating a fact, a reality, that it happens this way. Not all of us, even as good ground hearers, will bear the same amount of fruit. And this is true. If you look at the church and the members, you know, all go through the same worship service, messages, all go through the same Sunday school, and even the younger ones, you go through your junior Sunday school, and so forth. But at the end result of it, you find not all responds the same. But thank God, He guarantees there will be success. All right, so don't be discouraged by the first three kinds of hearers. The Lord is trying to prepare us, as prepare His disciples and us, of course, that when they go out and spread the word, the seed of the kingdom, don't have an idealistic expectation. Wow, because I preach the word, people must receive it. And they must receive me as the servant of God. No, they'll spit at you. They'll slam the door when they know you're a Christian and you're bringing a tract or sharing a gospel. They'll reject you. All right? There will be this kind of hearers. Be prepared to face them. But the encouragement is there will be success, because there will also be that amount of, how big is it? We don't know, only God knows. There will be this group of good ground hearers that will bear fruit. Say 30, 60, 100-fold. So let us be faithful. Our part is to be faithful to sow the seed as God opens door and opportunities for us. The results is in His hand. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, not our work. To bear fruit in the lives of the hearers. But that doesn't mean then we be careless. You see, we still have to be what? Do our best as servants of Christ. So let me summarize. The first three types of soil reveal three factors that hinder the reception of the kingdom message, and they are Satan, trials, and greed. Fruit is an indispensable test of genuine discipleship. And I want to emphasize this because Jesus emphasized this in this parable and others. Fruit, beloved, fruit, my friend, is an indispensable test of genuine discipleship. What kind of fruit, you may ask? It depends on the context, of course. But from the various occurrences in the New Testament on fruit, in John chapter 15 and others as well, you find that fruit could represent a few things. The fruit of answered prayers is one. The fruit of souls saved is another. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, our Christ-likeness, is also one of the various fruits that the Scripture mentioned. So, fruit is an indispensable test of genuine discipleship, and you and I need to check on that. Are you bearing fruit? The fruit of Christ-likeness? Year after year, as you grow older, and as you journey with Christ, do people see that you are more Christ-like this year? Not only that, is God using you as His ambassador to lead those outside of His kingdom into His kingdom? Are you bearing the fruit of souls being saved through your ministry? Of course, I know that depends on God, but God is very kind and He uses us, isn't it? And oftentimes, or at least sometimes, He blesses us with the fruit of our labor in evangelism. And we lead someone to Christ. You know what a thrill it is, you know, to lead someone to Christ? I'm not sure whether all of us here have experienced that. It is really a thrill to share the gospel and to see someone responding like the good ground hearer. And then follow that person up in discipleship and see that person growing in his faith in Christ. It's such a joy, an adventure. Not without its problems and challenges, of course, but it is still a great joy when God gives us that privilege. So the wayside soil, birds swap down, seed taken away immediately. They hear the word, they don't understand, the devil steals it away. Stony ground, no depth of earth, instant growth, no root, thereby scorched by the sun. So this represents the initial reception of the gospel message, but persecution leads to a falling away. Thorny ground, seed grew among thorns that choked it. And that represents a reception of the word of God compromised by riches and worldly concerns. And the good ground, hearers, seed took root and there was growth. Praise the Lord. And of course, how we wish, isn't it? Sunday school teachers, myself as a pastor, preacher, teacher, that we have this kind of hearers in our church that bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. They hear the word of God, they understood it, they receive it, and they bear spiritual fruit. May God grant us that privilege and joy. And I close with a quotation of S. Kistimaker, who make a comment on this parable. He says, "The word of God is proclaimed and causes a division among those who hear. God's people receive the word, understand it, and obediently fulfill it. Others fail to listen because of a hardened heart, a basic superficiality, or a vested interest in riches and possessions." Unquote. So my friends and beloved, which kind of hearers are you? Which one describes you the most appropriately? And is your profession of Christ authentic? Do you see fruit in your life? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 to his disciples and to us, "Not everyone who say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, how do we then become good ground hearers? I have many years of counseling experience, and I oftentimes observe that couples have problems because of poor communication. Not no communication. They had a lot of communication, but poor communication. And one of the main marks of their poor communication is that they don't listen to each other. They just want to share their view. So at times I will catch them when somebody has spoken, the other person respond, and I look at the husband and I say, "Can you repeat to me what your wife just said?" He's totally lost. Because he's so quick to think of what he wants to say, he's not listening to what his wife was saying. And to help people like that in conflict, you really have to force them to communicate properly and make them listen to each other. And once they start listening to each other and they are willing to accept each other's opinion and views, things will begin to slowly turn around. But if they stubbornly refuse to listen, they just want their own way and own view, then can't help them. No way, you see. So unless you're willing to listen. For us, I hope that we make better value of our time here every Sunday. In the worship as well as in the Sunday school. How? Listen. Don't think of what you want to do after church. All right? Don't fiddle on your smartphone and be distracted. Because why do you want to spend an hour and a half in church and you go back, you learn nothing? What a waste of your time. And how unglorifying to God, you know, it is, isn't it? When our hearts are not here. And that we are guilty of worshiping Him with our lips, but our hearts are not with Him. So don't waste your time. Be good listeners. Train yourself to be good listeners. And that will also involve other things like on Saturday night, sleep, have a good sleep. Don't come to church, wake up 4 or 5 a.m., and then you come drag yourself to church, and then you're half asleep when pastor is preaching. Right? We have a lot of amen people in our church. Amen, amen. Nodding away. I don't want that kind of amen. All right. So let's prepare ourselves for worship. Have a good sleep. Listen. Be willing to open your heart to what God has to say to you. You know, someone say that sometimes we are so structured. We put God in a box. God must work this way. But God doesn't work in your box. He's the transcendent God. And someone say sometimes if the Holy Spirit will come and visit a church, he will be rejected. Because we say, it can't happen in this way. We are not used to such a revival. So that's the irony, you know. We pray for revival, we pray for renewal, and when the Spirit of God were to come, we don't recognize his presence. Because he doesn't fit our structure. He doesn't fit into our box and our ways of doing things. Please, that is the rebuke of Jesus to the Pharisees. And I'll talk more about that in the next Holy Communion when we look at the Lord of the Sabbath. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us as your people to open our hearts every week, especially when your word is open, whether in our personal private reading of it, in our small groups Bible study, or in the worship service and Sunday school. May our hearts be receptive like the good ground hearers. May we receive your word with meekness, not unthinkingly, of course, but that we will think it through intellectually, we will check it and examine it with the rest of the teaching in your word. And if it is the truth, may we receive it with joy and with commitment. And may your Holy Spirit so work in our hearts that our lives, as we obey your truth, will bear forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold, and all to the praise of your glory. So help us, we pray, to be good listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.